ground control to Major Tom.
Staunton wriggling his way to the post and right on the post. There are three there. It must be a try. Yes, it is. A second try for John Kelly. Now it's all there for the taking as Gloucester pick themselves up from underneath their own post. Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This is Crotty. Oh yes, O'Gara is in! Another lead for Munster, and what a magnificent try!
Check ignition.
Fully controlled, oh, straight on! Now there will be no greater place in Munster history than the one reserved for the man who scores the special individual try.
Tom Savage of Three Red Kings. Tom, it was a whitewash at Thomond Park on Saturday evening. Ulster were running out of white flags by the finish of it. Hard to know what to read from it, but you know, Munster can only beat what's put in front of them. It certainly was a response, a positive response, and some fantastic tries. You know, they were better than Ulster all over the park, and again, amazing to see the contribution that Joey Carberry and that a lively halfback in Abby Mathewson can have on the game plan, and just the amount of tempo that they injected into the game.
Yeah, Munster really, they had to have a response there, like you said. And I thought that they had that response. For me, they had responded to the performance in Cardiff in the first half. They finished that half 29-0, bonus point wrapped off before halftime. But at that point, given the side that Ulster had sent down, the real response would be to keep that relentlessness going and to keep punishing Ulster again and again in that second half and to really put a score up. And they certainly did that. Now, for me, I think that the biggest issue for Munster here in this game was that given the relative callowness of this Ulster selection that they sent down, and when we discussed this last week about, you know, that they have a lot of injuries, they have they're just back from a 2-week tour of South Africa, short turnaround. So, you know, they're trying to manage their resources, but I thought Munster punished them the exact same way you'd expect the side like Munster, who went as relatively strong as we did. You would have to put a score on Ulster, and I think Munster certainly did that. Ulster would have been expecting a defeat in this game with the selection they put out. They would never admit this, you know. This would never be something that they'd ever say publicly, saying, "Okay, look, we know when we send a side over down like this, we're in danger of losing the game given the relative strength of Munster." But they would have been expecting a defeat. But the manner and the scale of that defeat was something that I think that went above even Ulster's worst expectations. It really was a fairly big defeat. They'll put it behind them pretty quickly. They've got a lot of outs, you know, like we said, a lot of injuries, short turnaround from a 2-week South African tour. Munster know all about how draining that can be after last season. And, I think Munster will take a lot of positives from that. The win, the manner of the second half ruthlessness, I think, will be the most pleasing. But, you know, overall, nobody's going to be throwing any massive ticker tape parades for winning an Interpro in the context that this ended up being in.
Yeah, Tom, I know that there is a lot played into the fact that they were coming back from South Africa, but, you know, I'd imagine if you had come back from Mars, you probably wouldn't, you'd probably have put in a better performance than that. They just lost the run of it. They didn't know what was coming next or what Munster's next move was. And I just thought they watching a guy like Carberry in action, and especially when you see somebody like Rory Scannell moving to 10 and Carberry at first receiver and Carberry moving outside, it really, really gives guys Munster a lot of attacking options, a lot of lines, a lot of angles, a lot of places where guys can strike from. I think listening back to the Munster press conference yesterday as well, that you'll have, I put that point to Andrew Conway, and he said that you know, the onus has to be on everybody to be able to fill in all positions at all times. Now, obviously, your stock and trade is your stock and trade position, but that, you know, if the time if the situation demands it, you need to be able to step in wherever at the back line.
Yeah, look, the modern game dictates that you must be able to, you know, handle the ball at the bare minimum, be able to pass the ball, move it on, fix a defender and move. That's the kind of thing that all teams who want to be at that elite level demand from every player these days. And Munster certainly showed a few bag of tricks there. And I thought that, you know, even though, like, Ulster ended up getting, you know, destroyed really when it comes to the scoreboard. We look at the actual stats of this game. Ulster had more possession. They had more territory. They had more carries of the ball. They had more passes. You know, but Munster just destroyed them on transition. And to do that, you need to be able to take whatever chances the opposition give you. And Munster, in this instance, punished Ulster almost every single time they turned the ball over, be it through penalties, be it through handling errors in midfield or with the ball being ripped in certain instances. Munster always tended to make ground. And as you put to Andrew Conway, when you have guys who can step in and distribute that ball to get kind of creative, pacey players like Carberry, attacking that outside edge with the likes of a Dan Goggin or a Peter Romani or a Keith Earls as an option to work with, that's dangerous. And that's the kind of thing that will really concern teams if they can duplicate this kind of performance going forward, as in this weekend coming, the weekend after that, the weekend after that. We're kind of into the serious big boy rugby at this stage now. So it's going to be interesting to see how Munster perform and how this partnership between Mathewson and Carberry develops. Because I think what we saw on Saturday night was hugely encouraging for me.
Tom, it's been an odd enough start to the season in that when Munster have had wins and they've had, you know, three very, very lopsided wins at this stage. When they've won, it's because the opposition have been lightweight and haven't put out their best match day panel. And when Munster have lost, Munster are in crisis. It's almost like a bipolar approach to Munster this year. One minute the pundits are saying we've got major problems, another minute they're saying that that Munster are playing weakened sides. So it's almost as if Johan van Graan can't win. But on the flip side, Tom, what has he learned from the side, or what do you think he has a gauge on where his team are, given the five games that have gone heretofore in the Pro 14?
Well, I think in the opening five rounds, I think that Van Kroon would have seen a few things about his squad. He'll have learned a few things about personnel, who's ready to step up to this level, who maybe isn't, who is, you know, who are people that have kind of sifted themselves down the pecking order a little bit, who have shot themselves up. It's important, you know, at the early stages of the season, and I always go back, this is one of the ones that always stands out to me. I think it was 2008 when Joe Schmidt first took over from Michael Checa in the aftermath of Leinster's first Heineken Cup win, I believe it was, or their second, whatever Joe Schmidt took over anyway. George Hook at the time was obsessed with this idea of Joe Schmidt being a spoofer, a bluffer, because Leinster did not start very well at the start of that season, mainly because they were implementing a system that Joe Schmidt wanted to play in. Of course, they're going to have flux with regards to personnel, with regards to game plan, with regards to bringing in new guys, bringing in guys who've been off for a while, coming back into the season, integrating a lot of different guys from pre-season. When that happens, results are going to go your way, are not going to go your way a lot of the times, especially when you go away from home. Now, of course, every coach would love to win every game. But sometimes there comes a time when, you know, you look at the side that Munster played in Glasgow, for example, a very, very strong Glasgow side, performed very, very well. Munster had a few critical areas of failure. You look at the Cardiff game away. Cardiff were very, very strong in that one as well. Munster were relatively strong too. But you throw in three individual defensive errors and you have 21 points, I think that was at that point, at that time. You can't give up 21 points away from home and expect to win. You know, and last season, Munster lost both of those same games. And I've made this point before. Munster lost both of those two games away from home to Cardiff and to Glasgow in the same manner. And managed to come back and finish in the Pro 14 semi-final, missed out in the final by a point, and got to a Heineken Cup semi-final as well. So when you look at the early stage of the season, obviously you want to perform well. But for me, trying to analyse and trying to get too far into what Munster are doing this season, or any team are doing early in the season, you really said it's really a bit of a mug's game, I think, because you're just looking then to be looking for drama, and you're looking for, you know, something that's beyond what would be considered the kind of the, well, what's the smart take here? The smart take for me is that, look, teams are coming back in, combinations are being put together, they're being tested, new guys are coming in. When you go away from home, that is tested. And if you throw in individual errors, very few coaches can recover from that. Like you said, Johan can't win either way. You know, as in it's one of those ones where, look, he's not on the job a year yet. And this is something that people, it tends to be forgotten. Everybody knows it, but it tends to be conveniently forgotten as well. This is a guy who's still building his vision for Munster rugby and still putting in place the structures that he needs to put in. And when you look at, you know, what is the, you know, when do teams tend to win under a head coach? You look at Leinster under Leo Cullen. Remember the first year of them, when Leo Cullen's first year in charge, people were talking about, God, this guy is some, like, is into this guy, you know, is he any good at all? Didn't qualify out of the pool.
No experience, no, for, yeah.
No, exactly. And then they end up 3 years later winning a Heineken Cup and Pro 14 double. You look at the Scarlets in the third year of Wayne Pivak, they won the Pro 14. Munster are still, you know, they're 5 games into Johan's first full season after a first full preseason, after basically being parachuted in halfway last year. So this idea that he's under pressure or all this other stuff, look, every Munster coach is under pressure. Every Munster coach is under pressure for results. That's the nature of managing a top four club in Europe. But to suggest that he somehow, his credibility is in question because Munster's away form has been dodgy, and believe me, it was dodgy before Johan took over last season and was dodgy afterwards, to think that this is somehow a blow to his credibility, for me, that lacks credibility. And I think that, you know, when we look at people who are, you know, when we look where the criticism is coming from, a lot of it is coming from ex-coaches. You would think ex-coaches would know better. And for me, I'd like to think that if an ex-coach was criticizing a current coach, you would look at and you'd say, well, if that ex-coach was working in the game now, it's, you know, a little bit far-fetched when it comes to some of them, but imagine if they were working at the elite level these days, what would they say if there was somebody in the, you know, in the press questioning their credibility after less than 5 games where they've won 3 with something like 150 points scored at home, the most amount of tries scored in a Pro 14 scored at home, 2 bad losses away from home against, you know, let's not beat around the bush here. A Glasgow side that finished top of their conference last year and a Cardiff side that won the Challenge Cup. Both of these sides are very, very serious teams. Munster went over in various stages of full strength. You know, they were obviously missing Joey Carberry from the start over in Glasgow. And, you know, there was a lot of defensive individual errors when it came to the game in Cardiff. So you have to look at these things in context. Looking at a win-loss record, you know, certainly seems like an easy thing to write. But it's not the kind of, you know, analysis that I think that anybody serious would be looking to make.
I take it, Tom, you don't subscribe to some of the articles and some of the punditry we've seen in the last week, then, that he's under pressure. I mean, I don't either. I personally don't think, you know, this guy, to me, is, I don't think he's under pressure even if Munster don't win something this year. And that might sound like an aberration to some Munster fans, but like you said, he's not even had a full year. He's into his first kind of full season there, and he's got, you know, there has been progression. And I mean, if we see continued progression this year, then, you know, it's the first year that he's had an influence on the recruitment policy. So that, you know, for any guy who wants to come in and set down his marker and set down his style, his culture within an organization, the first key thing you have to do is bring in the people that you think can suit that and can work around that. Obviously, you deal with what you have, what you currently have, but you can also affect it by bringing in other people and other personnel into that system. You know, he's only had, to use soccer terms, one transfer window. So for people to be saying that he's under pressure, when, you know, this is a team that got to the semi-finals. You know, there can only be, there's only two trophies on offer every year. So, you know, there's 14 teams in the Pro 14, there's 20 teams in Europe. So, you know, most of those, everybody bar two of those sides is going to end up winning nothing during the year, you know? So I don't see it as being crucial that Munster wins something this season, and I don't see it as, you know, as Van Graan being under pressure after five games.
Absolutely not. It's just one of those things. It's just why do we have to listen to this nonsense, like this garbage? When you hear stuff about lads being under pressure and stuff like that, look, this idea that you can put a guy artificially under pressure, Johan Van Raan is already under pressure. That comes with the job. So when it comes to this idea that like somehow that lads in the press are going to put him under pressure, please, this is garbage. Like, and when you look at how, you know, Munster this year will be shooting to win things. They've got a squad. They're very confident. They'll be backing themselves to win things. But if you look at the Scarlet start to the season in the year they actually won the last Pro 12, like they started terribly and still ended up finishing very, very well. When it comes to the Pro 14, look, Munster last year, their away form was terrible, but the home form pushed them through because they kept racking up bonus points. You know, and it's just one of those ones where, look, if Munster can finish well in the Pro 14 and do well in the test windows in particular, that will be where they will make their money this year. Because, look, it isn't how you start in the Pro 14, believe it or not. It is how you finish. If you can finish strongly in the Pro 14, because for all this talk about Munster last year, their away form being toxic, being terrible, Munster only finished 4 points off Glasgow at the top of Conference A. 4 points. That's the difference of one win. If you go back and take one of those wins that Munster left behind them, you know, where they were a kick of a ball away in a couple of games, you look at that and you go, geez, well, look, if they'd won that game, well, they'd be right up there at the top of Conference A. Who knows where they'd be? And that's really all Munster have to do. They have to just improve on some of their away results from last year. They'll get an opportunity to do that. And it's just a case of, you know, judge how they're doing come the end of January and February. I understand people want clicks now, but let's be a little bit sensible. You know, let's lose the heads a little bit.
Tom, it's coming into a crucial period, obviously, of the season, especially when you see Champions Cup on the horizon. It really does focus the concentration. Leinster also at the weekend, and, you know, we haven't won there in a long time. How do you think, if you're Johan Van Graan, and you're sitting down looking at your personnel this week, I'm not saying you... Do you select guys with the intention of, listen, we're going away to Exeter the following week where an away win in Europe would really set us up? You know, it's the Pro 14 if we ship it. I'm not saying we put up a white flag in Leinster. If we take a defeat up in Leinster, then as long as we've got a fresh panel and we can go forward to Exeter, you know, are you that cynical, that methodical? Do you think it through that much, or do you... You know, give the guys enough rein to go and do what they want. You know, to have a good crack at Leinster and go again next week. It's a very, very tricky one. And of course, bear in mind you've also got Gloucester coming to Thomond Park the following week. So, I for one would not like to be managing the selection side of it over the next 3 weeks. It's really, really, there's some big, big decisions to be made.
It's tough. Like they made reference to, this is a big block of games that's coming up here. You look at how Munster are set up here. For me, I go half and half. You know, there's some guys I might rest for this trip to Leinster. You know, because Munster have lost this game every time for the last, what, 3 or 4 years? And every week or every year we're told it's hugely significant when Munster go into this game. If they lose, God, the sky's falling down. But every year they've lost and every year they've gone on to perform well in the Champions Cup bar 3 years ago. Then the last 2 years they've lost and lost poorly with big questions being raised in the aftermath of it. But yet then Munster went away and performed in the Champions Cup then the week after. So for me, I look at lads like Peter Romani, CJ Stander seem to have got a lot of game time over the course of the last 2 weeks. For me, I'd send up a mix and match side, to be honest. I think that I'd send up some lads who are going to go up there and play our game, like CJ referred to. And just see if you can catch Leinster, because I think Leinster have gone very strong in the last 2 weeks as well. So I think they may be looking for, because look, we know how Leinster and Munster games go. Physicality in these games is through the roof. It may not, you know, there may not be any pro wrestling type, you know, needle and niggle in the build-up to it. You know, if you want that, go look at Connacht versus Leinster, because, you know, those lads seem to want to get stuck in each other non-stop now. But I think that those games are hugely physical. I think that Leinster have used Johnny Sexton quite a bit early in the season, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him rested for this one. It could be an opportunity for Ross Byrne to come in and continue his role there as the, you know, the 10 in waiting in Leinster. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Munster go with maybe starting Ian Keatley, maybe starting Joey Carberry as well, just to kind of get him in there and get him up to speed in that sort of environment. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Munster go with a bit of a mix and match side here, just to kind of, you know, keep the powder dry, I suppose, for Exeter, because Munster will know that they have the game to beat Exeter, but it's the execution and making sure you have the right personnel in the field to do it. We've been buckled with injuries over the course of the last, I'd say, 18 months, where we've lost key guys and multiple key guys in key positions again and again, and just gone, you know, I'm talking about tight head towards the end of last season. I'm talking about the open side towards the end of last season. I'm talking about outside centre for the vast majority of last season, where we were down to the bare bones, quite literally. And when you look at this year, I think that all squads look to target certain games where they go, okay, well, look, we'll target this game away from home to have a real rattle off this, to see if we can catch these guys here and pick up 4 points there, whatever else. Munster, I think, will be happy enough with this one. You know, if they can get a losing bonus point, great. I personally think a losing bonus point would be great up in Leinster at the moment. They've got so much depth, you know, like, as in Leinster are a side that, you know, they've got the possibility to put out nearly two sides that would be able to compete at the top end of the Pro 14. That's where they are at the moment. So for me, Munster, we need to manage our resources. We need to manage our top guys. And I think that with Exeter on the horizon, I maybe would send over or send up a little rotated squad from last time, and just to give a few more guys game time and to keep the likes of Peter Romani, maybe CJ Stander, and, you know, Joey Carberry, I think, will play, but, you know, to limit his exposure out there as well. Just to make sure that we're all set and ready to roll for Exeter, which is the real big game, in fairness, coming up in 2 weeks' time now.
Tom, just to recap on some of the other Pro 14 games, well, there was only one other, because, you know, it was an inter-pro weekend. The Connacht-Leinster derby, overshadowed really by the red card, Tom, and a crazy decision from Dominic Robertson-McCoy, a deliberate stamp on the head of Josh van der Fleer. No excuse for it. No excuse for it. No reason for it. No nothing. It was madness. And he can look forward to a long, lengthy ban.
And, you know, proper order. Like, it really was dumb. You know, it's just one of those ones for a lad to lose the head out in the pitch. It happens. I mean, we've all seen this. I've not done that, but the red mist has come down on me when I've been out playing. You know, you lose your composure. It happens, you know, but for a professional, you expect better, you know. And the stamp, he was, you know, Josh Renfrew was quite lucky that it didn't end worse for him, you know, and the boy should be very, very fortunate if he sees, you know, anything less than a 6 week ban. But yeah, very, very silly, very, very silly stuff from him. But it was a spicy interpro, as it always tends to be between Leinster and Connacht these days. There's a real edge to those two squads, and it seems to be a palpable thing rather than, you know, I will say a kind of a healthy rivalry, where I'd say Munster and Leinster at the moment. There seems to be that real edge between Leinster and Connacht, and it was certainly a very physical game, and it was tighter than the score suggested. But Leinster, I thought, did very well to pick out the win. But they went very, very strong for that game. They were practically at Heineken Cup team level with regards to their selection. But good win for Leinster overall. Connacht, you know, they'll be disappointed to lose at home, but I think they'll be happy with the account they gave themselves.
Tom, obviously we will park the focus on Leinster towards the Friday noon team selection, and we'll come back with our second part of the week then. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up, firstly on Three Red Kings, the Patreon page, and secondly, your Limerick Post article this year. Don't give it away, obviously, but just a taste of what people can expect.
Yeah, on TRK Premium this week. It's on patreon.com/3RedKings for just €2 a month. They're going to have two or three articles based on Munster's work against Ulster. I'll be looking at Munster's maul and how it improved week to week from the Cardiff game, where it was quite poor, to this game, where it was hugely effective, and the difference and the different little setups that Munster made to actually make that change. I'll also be looking at Joey Carberry's work over the course of the last three or four games heading into this game against Leinster, to see how he's developing and how he's set to, you know, how he is set to go as Munster's leading 10 coming into the season, and basically just how he's been improving what we're doing with the ball and how we're playing. And of course, there'll be the Red Eye leading up to the Leinster game, as well as the Blood and Thunder Match APP podcast, as well as a few other things based on, you know, what I feel like doing towards the end of the week, based on mainly looking at Leinster, maybe looking at what Munster did against Ulster. I'll also be previewing the Springboks game against the All Blacks, where that will be a real dust-up on Saturday. I'll also be in the Limerick Post this week talking about the nature of punditry and how the pressure game, as in where you see pundits, journalists trying to put pressure on coaches in general, but in this case, Johan Van Hron specifically, and what you really should be taking stuff that you read and hear on the radio with a pinch of salt, because people tend to forget that this is the entertainment business rather than the solar analysis business. And I think that my post in the Limerick Post this week, or my column rather, goes into that, into the little the psychology of what it takes to be a colour commentator pundit in today's rugby media landscape.